Hi there, it's Lisa Thompson from lisathompsonlive.com, your author and divorce resource. Today I'd like to do a reading from an excerpt of my latest book, The Wine Diaries, Musings on Divorce Paired with Wine. And I've chosen what seems to be, I guess, my favorite passage. It's called What I've Learned So Far. And it's in the chapter Life Unexpected. What I've learned so far. You know how sometimes when you're meditating, or in my case on a long walk, you begin having aha moments? Well, bear with me as I explain mine. It took me 40 years to figure out the true meaning of the word compound. The Merriam-Webster definition is as follows. Something formed by a union of elements or parts. Isn't our life one big union of moments? Those moments become the very elements that define us. What we do moment to moment determines our happiness. What I've learned so far is that these moments are the core of our being. These moments have a gradual yet significant consequence. They form what I like to refer to as our compound happiness, or on the other hand, our compound fractures. For example, what we do, eat, and who we see on a daily basis gradually impacts our body and mind. In other words, don't underestimate the tiny negatives we accept from others at any given moment. These small decisions of ours are what compound our happiness or, on the other hand, compound our fractures. Joy or pain, it's our choice. Specifically, what I've learned so far is that my life isn't about the big moments as I used to believe. It isn't the moment of graduation and finally getting that piece of paper, the moment of saying, I do, the white dress, or the big house. Although I won't argue that the right pair of shoes, the perfect springtime dress, or the dream kitchen can't pick us up and give us goals to work toward. They are only the icing on the cake, though. The crux is how we got to that piece of paper and what we do with the I do. It's realizing it was the tiny moments, the seemingly small decisions that got us to those big moments in life. To iterate this idea, I'll share an anecdote. I'm going to stop here and I'm not going to share the anecdote here on the recording. I will save that for you if you decide to read the book. But the lesson of the anecdote, I'm going to begin reading again. Given a small choice to provide comfort to your spouse or to extend their discomfort, always choose the former. What is to be gained by making your spouse suffer? I'm certain I'm not the first person to understand that a call for a taxi has saved many a marriage. Being thoughtful only takes a moment. The point being how one should stop and think about the compound effect of tiny and considerate decisions. It's the compounded injuries that ruined my marriage. Is it possible that this materialistic lifestyle I was leading sucked my soul out of me? Did I actually believe the dream home would substitute for the love I was missing? Sure, the mealy dishwasher, the Sub-Zero fridge, the temperature-controlled wine fridge and the double-wall ovens were all to die for. Had I died? These material goods gave me convenience and aesthetic pleasure, but they couldn't give me what I needed to live an authentic life. These things meant nothing without love. I could substitute the word love for kindness, and I think you would still get the idea. I had the big things, but was missing the tiny moments of happiness that the foundation of our lives should be built on. I had resisted in the past, but it was now time to face up to the compounded fractures that made up my marriage. The time had come to own up to my emptiness. As I have discussed earlier, facing the truth was the hardest thing I had ever done. It's much easier to pretend everything is great. Besides, I must be ungrateful for questioning my life at this point. It's socially understandable to want a larger home, but not so much to want to fill your soul or grow spiritually. It is understandable to desire an expensive piece of jewelry, but to yearn to be cherished is to come across as asking for too much. In our society, it's easier to tell someone you don't like your job than it is to tell them you don't like your partner. And so this conundrum was part of my journey to face the truth. That's why I tried to deny it at first. I tried to simply look at all the things I was grateful for at that exact moment. Of course, my children were always the answer. My children were my purpose. My children owned my gratitude. They filled my heart. They were the greatness of my being and the very thing I desperately wanted to protect from my personal truth. If I were to say I was living a lie, wouldn't that somehow devalue who they were? If I were to admit there was no love between the father and I, wouldn't that be saying they have no home? Gratitude is powerful, but it can't make someone love you. Once I began to realize I could be grateful and unhappy at the same time, I began to accept this journey to self-fulfillment. I began to give myself permission to be unhappy and to own that unhappiness. I stopped making excuses for the neglect, recriminations, and demands. I stopped making excuses for my tears and the ache in the pit of my stomach. This small step allowed me to separate my compounded unhappy moments from my children. Who they were and who they would become after all would only be enhanced by having a happy and fulfilled mother. With this realization, I freed myself from the ultimate martyrdom. Because to have only that one role in this world, although extremely important, would be a recipe for loneliness. This was the first truth I had to face. Acceptance of what my life had become without the excuses. Releasing excuses for staying in an unhappy marriage, including the two biggest ones, my children, allowed me to see beyond and into what my life could be. The two beautiful excuses to stay became the two beautiful excuses to change. The question of my life's possibilities lingered in my mind as a temptation to embrace joy. That joy tingled in my fingertips and toes at the thought of a door opening just for me. The thought of a different life, not sure how it would look exactly. But it made my heart beat faster, louder. The seed of authenticity was sown there in my heartbeat. I decided to nurture it by asking the universe for help in seeking a new life. Owning up to the truth and then deciding what I wanted to change and finally making it happen. The new decisions brought about compound happiness. What I've learned so far is if we're overly concerned with the big things in life, we miss the small ones. And although we all need things to strive for, to only live for the dream home, the perfect holiday, the promotion, or the perfect anything, is living in dangerously shallow waters. One deep breath away from rock bottom. And although facing the truth is not easy, it's worth it. Remember the importance of compounding tiny, happy moments and knowing their true weight over a lifetime, because it's the key to unlocking your dreams. You will then discover longevity of life and be filled with grace and authenticity. Choose your words, your friends, and lovers wisely, for they are the ones you're sharing precious moments. They are the ones you're compounding a union of elements with, your life. Pair this passage with, I'm going to give you a wine to taste along with the emotions of this one, Chateau La Jolla's Gran Reserva Syrah from Chile. Quote, to describe the wine, shining wonder from the earth, may your color be a shelter for disquieted gazes. May your texture awaken the wish to caress life. Shine that your brightness only illuminates. Unquote. Shine on, bright star. Make all of your small moments and decisions add up to a beautiful life illuminated with love and a good glass of Syrah. Compounded happiness is what we're striving for. Joy. And with that, we'll conclude this little passage. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for joining me. Take care until next time. Bye-bye.